I would like to read with you again, please, in Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament. This is the greatest gospel prophecy of the Bible. Actually, New Testament gospel is found in this Old Testament book. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 4 of Isaiah 1 says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds, and bruises, and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Isaiah 53, one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible. Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm reading at verse 3, "He is despised," that is the Lord Jesus. This is a prophecy in the 8th century before Christ was born, and it describes him in great detail. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord," that is the Lord God, "hath laid on him," that is the Lord Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." And while you have your Bible there, if it's open at that chapter, let me show you the last words of verse 5 again. "With his stripes we are healed." Isaiah 64 for one more reading. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." I've been reading Isaiah 53 all my life. I can remember many times when I read verse 5, sometimes to a troubled soul. I've almost wished that the last sentence or the last clause in verse 5 said, "By his stripes we are saved." But it doesn't say that. It says, "By his stripes we are healed." I thank God tonight that it says, "By his stripes we are healed." That's my message, if God helps me. You see, sin is an offense against God. Sin is an insult to God's throne. Sin is rebellion against the God who gives us breath. Sin is also like a debt, a great debt, a debt that's growing every day of our lives, a debt that must be met, a debt that must be paid. Sin is like a great debt. Sin is something else. Sin is like a disease, a deadly disease. And it's one of the kind of diseases that we are accountable for. There are people afflicted with sicknesses that, and we wonder why, and it's a tremendous tragedy that some particular disease has come upon a person unexpectedly, this is a disease that we brought on ourselves. The disease of sin. That's why it says in Isaiah 53 and 5, by his stripes we are healed. A person who gets saved is healed. They are made completely whole. In fact, they are fitted for heaven. They have eternal life. They can never perish. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the subject you have heard tonight preached so plainly is not a very popular subject. The subject of our sin. Our guilt as sinners. I remember a dear old man telling me many years ago that he always found it very difficult to preach about sin. I didn't realize the truth of what he said at that time. I've learned it through the years. Yes, it is difficult, but it is the most necessary kind of preaching. Here in the meeting tonight are men and women, boys and girls. Every one of us are sinners. We were born as sinners. But we are not only sinners because we were born as sinners. We are sinners because we have chosen to sin. There's a dear lady here at this conference, and she will recognize this story almost as soon as I say it. I had a call one day from a member of her family. He said to me, "Mr. Crawford, I don't know you. I've never met you." But he said, "I am going to meetings just now, and men are preaching in these meetings that we are sinners by choice." He said, "I'm not a sinner by choice." He said, "I was born like this. I can't help being a sinner. It's just what I am. I didn't have anything to do with it." So I said to him, "Let me ask you a question. Were you ever tempted to do something that you knew was wrong, and you did not do it?" There was silence. On the other end of the line, for almost a minute. And then the young man said, "Thank you very much, Mr. Crawford." And he hung up the phone. The next time he called me to tell me that God had saved him. You see, what he discovered in that simple question was, if there are times when I chose not to sin, then what happened when I did sin? I must have chosen to sin. One of the strongest verses in the Bible that teaches that I am a creature of choice is Isaiah 53 and 6. We have turned everyone to his own way. You're a sinner because you've chosen to sin. You're a sinner because it's your will to be a sinner. My friend, God must bring sin before his judgment throne. Now Isaiah chapter 1 is a description of a sinner that is probably unlike any other description in the Bible. You know, down in the southern United States, there is a leprosarium. I've never been there. I've read about it. I've heard others speak about it. You know what leprosy is? The leprosy that we know in this Western Hemisphere is not really the leprosy that is known in other parts of the world. This is a disease similar, but of a different kind. I have a niece who spent many years in the heart of Africa. She worked with lepers for years. I have seen her pictures and pictures of others. These people, oh, what a disease. Their bodies are literally deformed beyond description. Oftentimes there's only the stump of an arm or the stump of a leg, or even a little hole where the ear ought to be, or a hole where the nose ought to be on their face. Their whole body has been racked by disease. They're dying by inches. It's a terrible disease. And it's deadly. When God was going to choose a picture of sin, from all read in Isaiah 1, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there was no soundness in it. but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's a leper. From the sole of his foot to his head, there isn't a spot on him that's clean. You know what leprosy is? One of the most unclean diseases that ever has affected mankind. A disease that affects us in every part. In our mind, in our will, in our hearts, in our nature, in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions. From the sole of the foot to the head, no soundness, nothing but wounds. Wounds come from blows that are inflicted from without. Bruises can come the same way, but putrefying sores come from within. Sin is a disease, deadly disease, that brings death to you. Oh, my friends, an awful thing to use. In fact, we read in Isaiah 1 tonight that as sinners we have sin in us, all sinful people. When you say a thing is full, you mean it is crowded. You mean it is absolutely full. Sinful. God says we are sinful. I always think of Peter when I read this. Falling down on his knees before the Lord Jesus that day in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, he said, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." What made him say that? He saw the mighty power of the Creator God. He recognized in this man, Jesus of Nazareth, the God of creation, the God of holiness, the God of righteousness. Immediately he was struck with his sinfulness. That's how you find out you're a sinner. Not by comparing yourself with neighbors or fellow work people or schoolmates. You find out you're a sinner because you see yourself as God can see you. Sinful. We actually are full of sin in our sinful condition. We have sin on us. It says they were laden with iniquity, a burden, a heavy load, a crushing weight. How heavy is the weight of sin? It's heavy enough to sink your soul to hell. That's the tragedy of sin. I know we live in a day when this is not preached. I know we live in a time when people have very little consciousness of guilt. I know there are very few people who know the burden of their sins. I can remember walking home from a gospel meeting on a Friday night. Yes, it's many years ago. I confess that. But it's just as vivid and graphic and real to me as if it had just happened. And that night I was conscious of one blessed reality. The Lord Jesus had hung on the cross and died for my sins. He had died in my place, and my load of sin was lifted. I no longer felt the weight and guilt of my sins. My sins were all forgiven. I stopped in a big park on the way home that night. The lights in the city didn't allow me to see the sky clearly, but when I get into the dark park, and I looked up at the sky, and it was studded with stars, and it overwhelmed me. The God who made all that gave his only son to die for me. Oh, I tell you, friend, it's a great thing to have your sin forgiven. Here's a people and they've got their sin on them like a tremendous weight, sinking them down to hell. Are you like that tonight? Your sin's like a burden. But you notice they had sin behind them. It says they had forsaken the Lord. Can you look back tonight? Do you remember when you actually made a real effort to forget God? Do you remember times when you actually thought, "I can do this. I can get away with it"? They have forsaken the Lord. That's the background. That's what's behind it. It says that they have provoked the Holy One to anger. Did you know that sin provokes God? Did you know it stirs his holy anger? That's a solemn thought, isn't it? You stand before an angry God in your sins. What an awful day that will be. You've sinned against the Lord. I discovered that. Thank God. It was a verse that spoke very loudly to me. It's, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure, your sin will find you out. What a powerful text that was in my soul before I was saved. That very chapter that statement is made. In that chapter, we are told that we are sinners against others. And there isn't a person here tonight that will stand up and say, I've never had a wrong thought about another man or woman or child. There isn't a person here who would say, I've never done one wrong deed or spoken one wrong word. No, you wouldn't do that. Because we know that. We have sinned against others. But it isn't just that we've sinned against others. Every sin is against the Holy God. No wonder the Pharisees said to the Lord Jesus, who is this that forgives sins? Who can forgive sins but God only? Do you know why that's true? Well, let me give you the simplest kind of an illustration. What if someone came along tonight and did you a serious injury? Maybe a blow on your face. Unexpected, and you're shocked by it. And I walk up to the person who has just struck you, and I say to them, I forgive you. You'd say, what kind of a nonsense is this anyway? You weren't hit. How can you forgive a person who did you no harm? See? So when the Lord Jesus told the man his sins were forgiven, they said, who can forgive sins but God only? Because only the one who is sinned against can forgive. My friends, you've sinned against the Lord. You've sinned against law. But there's another statement in that number 16. It says that they were sinners against their own souls. Did you know that tonight? You've sinned against the Lord. You've provoked the Holy One to anger. You've sinned against your own soul. Cost is tremendous. A loss of your soul. Eternal separation from God. It says that they had sinned before them, because ye will revolt more and more. They had sin that covered them, from the sole of the foot to the head. They had sin that separated them. Let me tell you about the leper, because that's the picture here. A leper. A man with this terribly unclean disease. You wouldn't want to see the rags of a leper. You wouldn't want to be in the presence of a leper. If a leper came into this company tonight, you would try to get as far away from that person as you could. Because they're unclean. It's a terrible disease. That's what sin is like. Not in the eyes of people. But God does not see as men see. Men look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. My friend, God sees you as an unclean sinner in His holy sight. How could you get into heaven like that? You see, the Bible says that there shall never, never enter into it anything that defiles. No person can be in heaven and take their sins with them. How many sins would keep you out? One. Because the person who keeps the whole law yet sins in one point, he is guilty. He is guilty. You couldn't get into heaven with your sins. But you can have your sins forgiven. Do you see the text that you've been looking at tonight? Wonderful words. From Acts 10 and verse 36. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You see, the leper had to go outside the camp. He couldn't live with his fellow men. He couldn't have it. He had to go to a place all alone, in the wilderness, in the desert. He had to cover his upper lip. And if he saw anyone coming near to him, might even be a loved one that he longed to embrace. No. He had to cover his upper lip. and he had to cry, unclean, unclean. He was separated from his very family by his disease. Friend, this is most tragic. What you heard tonight, flee from the wrath to come. Your sins will separate you from heaven. Your sins separate you from God. Your sins will separate you from light and hope and peace forever. He made peace. The punishment of our peace was upon him. What kind of peace is that? That reconciles you to God, that brings you near to God. Sin has separated you. Ah, the precious blood of Christ can bring you near, cleanse you, and fit you for heaven. I love Isaiah 53. There isn't a believer here tonight that doesn't love it in the depth of their heart. I hardly know a passage of the Bible so precious. We were hearing this afternoon about not having miracles in our day. You've got a miracle in your hand. You have an open Bible right now. You have a miracle in your hand. Here's a description of a Savior who would be born almost 8 centuries later. It tells about his treatment by man. It tells us that he had moral beauty. And yet men didn't recognize it. They hated him without a cause. It tells us he had many sorrows. And the Bible says many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But here is the man of sorrows. Was there ever sorrow like his? There never was. In fact, Lamentations 1 and 12 says, behold and see if there is any sorrow like unto my soul. There never was. What kind of sorrow did he have? The sorrow of sin. But he had no sin. He's holy. He never sinned. How could he have the sorrow of sin? He took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, my friend, truly this blessed Savior had many sorrows. He had a marred body. And there's something about the marred body of the Lord Jesus that thrills my heart. Because we read about a marred sinner in Isaiah 1. From the sole of his foot to his head, there was no soundness in him but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Sin has marred us. Listen. The Lord Jesus had missing sores. He was wounded. He was bruised. They are exactly the same words in Isaiah 1. In Isaiah 53, here's this blessed Savior, but he was wounded. In fact, the verse before said, we thought him to be a leper, and he has the wounds, and he has the bruises. But oh, look closer. You've been asked tonight, you've been invited tonight, you've been entreated tonight to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look at him, friend. Look closely at him. He is wounded. He is bruised. There are no putrefying sores. He is holy. He is sinless. He is God's Son from heaven. Can I tell you something tonight that I very seldom say when I'm preaching the gospel? He is my God. You know that? He is my God, the Savior of Calvary. Do you have him tonight? Have you trusted him? I can tell you that he had majesty and dignity. I can tell you he had a mysterious death. You know, the death of Christ was like no event that ever happened before on earth or since. There is one day in the history of mankind that saw an event happen that has changed eternity. The only day in all of history like It was a lone cross on a hill outside a city wall. There was a thief on a cross on either side. Jesus in the midst. That death was so mysterious. 12 times over, the Bible says men took his life. It says they slew him. They hanged him on a tree. It says that. The Lord Jesus said that a number of times. He would be taken and crucified and slain. Men would take his life. Did they take his life? That's what's so mysterious about it. They thought they could take his life. But he said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. Now, can I tell you something very, very, very true, friend? Which won't take a great deal of knowledge of the Bible to understand. What the Lord Jesus gave that day at the cross was an infinite sacrifice. You can never measure the value of it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he gave himself. Because he is the Lord God. Because he is the supreme ruler of the universe. The only way I can explain it is a man standing before a criminal judge. The evidence has all been produced. The man is guilty. The judge arises solemnly in the court and addressing the guilty man, he sentences him to die for his crimes. I've been in a court and heard and seen that happen. It is most solemn. And then this judge lays aside his judicial robes and steps down from the throne of judgment and says to the guilty man, you can go free. I'm going to take your punishment. That's Calvary. He was wounded. He was bruised. The punishment of our peace that brings peace to a poor sinner was upon him. 5 blessed words. I know many 5 blessed words of the Bible. You must be born again. Christ died for our sins. There's so many beautiful words like that. Listen to these 5 words. The punishment was upon him. That's why the punishment will never be on me. I deserve it. I'm only a sinner. I deserve to be punished. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Last Monday, I had one of those kind of jobs to do that breaks your heart. I preached the funeral of a 34-year-old young man, a young husband and father. And I'd known him since he was born. He was killed. He's an aeronautical engineer for Delta Airlines. He's tragically killed. I was far away. Took all night to get home to be there for his funeral. 700 people were gathered at that funeral. When I looked into the face of that young man, I could hardly bear the sight. Just last spring, his grandfather died. I had an experience with that grandfather I've never had with anyone in all my life. I spent 12 hours with him. I've spent hours like that with people before, but I spent the last 12 hours of his life with that man. I went to the hospital at 6 o'clock in the morning. He died at 7 o'clock that night. I was with him. What was I doing that day? Tell you what I was doing. I was trying to point him to the Savior. I preached the cross that day all day long. Preached the lifted up Savior, the suffering Lamb of God, the precious blood that he shed, the work that he did to save lost souls. I preached it all day. Tried to pour it into... I prayed for that man for 50 years. Yes, I have. Came to our meetings over 50 years ago. I prayed for Porter Mullins through these many years. He died that night. I preached his funeral. Scott came to me in the funeral hall that day. And he said, I'm so glad that you could talk to my granddad when he was dying. And he said, maybe he got saved. And I said, Scott, maybe he did. I don't really know. Maybe he did. Oh, little did I know that day. Within a few weeks' time, I'd be standing in the same funeral home, preaching Scott's funeral. My friend, what about you tonight? Do you have Christ? Do you have your sins forgiven? Do you have peace with God? Have you received this crucified, bleeding, suffering Savior as yours? Or will you be taken away in your sins, as we read in Isaiah 64? Taken away. Away from where? Away from time. Away from the place of hope. Away from hearing the gospel. Away from a meeting like this. Taken away. Like the wind. Taken away. You turn. Hey, it's awfully real. We don't have to make up the story. That vivid experience last Monday is burned into my mind. Scott is dead. What about you? Could I ask you tonight in love and tenderness, where would your precious soul be for all eternity? Behold the Lamb of God. Look to the Savior on Calvary's tree. Trust him tonight, friend. But he was wounded. Yes, he was. He was bruised. The punishment was upon him that brings peace to you. And by his stripes, and it really is a word that means one single stroke of judgment, by a stroke so mighty, a stroke so fearful, a stroke of wrath divine, the Lord Jesus was smitten. Smitten of God. Why? So you would not be smitten. So you would not know God's wrath. So you could be healed. Made whole, forgiven, made fit for heaven. Oh God, grant that you may trust this Savior as your Savior. Could I say something very simple? There must be a time when you trust Christ for yourself. It isn't some vague thing. It isn't some general learning about a doctrine. It's a personal, simple trust. To put your whole weight, to rest your soul on Christ alone. It isn't Christ and. It isn't Christ in your goodness. It isn't Christ in your baptism. Not Christ in your church membership. No, friend. It's Christ only. And he only can save you. What are you trusting? Better question. Who are you trusting to take you to heaven? Trust him, and you will be healed. So pray. Father, bless thy word. The message is so great. The value of it is eternal. We have to confess, Lord, how fully we can declare it. But what is of God? Thy holy word, it's living, it's powerful. Oh God, use it. and in this meeting tonight, save some poor, precious soul. We humbly ask. Part us with thy blessing and accept our thanks for all the blessings of this day. And, O God, crown these conference meetings with some soul to Christ. Again, we pray for Stan Wells. Lord, heal him in thy mercy. And bless us now as we separate in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number 4, please. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you now. We could sing the 3 verses of this hymn. And if you have questions, if there's anyone in the meeting tonight who has come to the meeting invited by friends or by the invitations that were sent through the mail, and you have some questions to ask, Mr. Funston and I will be at the door, and you may let your question be known to us. We can't save you. We can't save anyone. But we can tell you about the Savior who can save you. So we invite you to make your question known. And may God bless you. And may you be saved for eternity.